Good morning. It is December the 14th, and I am Mark Sorensen. Today's entry is titled This, Deep Darkness and Great Light. Hear our scripture today. It comes from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. Consider this. One of my favorite times of the day during the season of Advent is early in the morning, before the sun comes up, when the house is perfectly quiet and still. I'll wander into the kitchen. I'll grab my favorite holiday mug, get some coffee in that mug, then get my Bible and turn on our Christmas tree lights in the living room. Then I just settle into my favorite chair. Can I be honest? There is nothing quite like reading the Word by the light of a Christmas tree. This morning, while reflecting over this devotional by twinkling lights, I have to confess that I got curious. When did the first Christmas tree with electric lights happen, and what was the story with that? Well, good news, for every question, there is a Wikipedia page for that, my friends. The year was 1882, and his name was Edward Johnson. Though you may not be familiar with his name, you might be more familiar with who he worked for, Thomas Edison. Edward Johnson was Edison's associate and served as the vice president of Edison Electric Light Company. On a cold day in December, he got a crazy idea to invent walnut-sized light bulbs in the colors of red, white, and blue, and string them on a Christmas tree that would illuminate and flicker when it was plugged in. Now, here's the crazy thing. It didn't catch on initially, but even though it didn't catch on initially, the idea would eventually take root, and by 1930, most homes had them on their trees. You know, I can't help but think how lights have changed over the years. My earliest memories of Christmas tree lights go back to my childhood and visits to my grandmother's house in East Texas. One of my favorite decorations at her house was an aluminum Christmas tree that had a color wheel that was plugged in next to it. Some of you right now know exactly what I'm talking about. Though that tree didn't have any lights on it, it was still magic as the silver aluminum Christmas tree sat there. The color wheel would slowly turn, changing the tree into colors of orange to green to red to blue. I would literally sit there and stare at it, mesmerized. But by far, my favorite Christmas tree lights were the ones on the other artificial tree at grandmother's house. They were known as bubble lights. They literally got so warm that the liquid inside them would bubble in the spirit of old-school lava lamps. My, have times changed. Though the lights have changed over the years, here's the thing. Their purpose has not. To bring light into the darkness. No matter the setting or surroundings, no matter how dark a room or neighborhood street may be, once you flip on those small Christmas lights, the room or street takes on a different perspective. Illumination minimizes the darkness, and the world is just a little less scary as a result. That is the beauty of light. And that was the promise and prophecy Isaiah made 700 years before that first Christmas morning. In Isaiah 9, the Israelites had done it again. Though they were once in captivity in Egypt, God had led them into a place of freedom and the promised land. Yet, little by little, they wandered. The line from the hymn, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, comes to mind. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. And that is exactly what happened to the Israelites. They wandered. And as a result, once again, they found themselves in captivity, this time in Babylon. It had to have been a dark and a scary time for God's people. Yet it was here, within captivity and darkness, that Isaiah would throw out a spark of light and hope. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. How beautiful is this promise? Isaiah was declaring that a time was approaching that not just darkness, but deep darkness would soon be illuminated by light. And that light was not just any ordinary light. It would be a great light. My friends, deep darkness cannot stand against the great light that has come. What was true 700 years before Christ's birth is just as relevant for us today, some 2,000 years after his birth. Perhaps a good suggestion for us today is this: plug in this truth and shine that over the dark places of your life today. Let's pray. God of wonder, we thank you for light. What comfort it brings us all to know that darkness does not and will not have the final word over our lives. Jesus, thank you for being the light of the world. May we not only hold this light in our lives, but help us to shine that light to all we encounter. And we pray this prayer in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Here's some questions to ponder today. How does the imagery of light and darkness in this passage reflect the contrast between hope and despair that we experience in our lives today? And perhaps a greater question, how can seeing this contrast impact the way we view the light of Christ at work in our lives today? Good questions to ponder. For The Awakening, I'm Mark Sorensen.
We hope that today's entry challenged and encouraged you. And thanks for listening to The Wake Up Call, powered by Seedbed. Be sure to share this with a friend, leave us a rating, and subscribe wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. Find out more and join the movement by visiting our website at seedbed.com/wakeupcall.